ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanta Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Yes, the Guru Purnima celebrations just concluded in Prashanta Nilayam, and even though there were so many restrictions, you had the Cycle Month Hall full of people. There were so many who wanted to come, who wanted to be part, and who could not make it because of the restrictions with which we are now operating everywhere. But their hearts were connected to Prashanta Nilayam. Their thoughts were on what is happening in this holy hamlet. And this mode of operation of restricted people coming has been the way so many places of spiritual importance have been in function in the last few months. One major event that happened in India in this month is the Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath of Puri. Again, an event that was one of the most spectacular spiritual religious events that happened in India every year. Rarely would you find a chariot of that height. Seldom you would find thousands congregating with that kind of devotional frenzy. It is not commonplace to see a whole town becoming one devotional song. And Rath Yatra of Puri has been a festival not only in Puri but in every place where there are shrines of Lord Jagannath, Lord Valabhadra, Mother Subhadra. But this year, because of the pandemic, you had very limited number of people who are allowed to participate in this grand event that happens in the sacred land of India. And it set me thinking about how this land, which Swami always called Punya Bhumi, Divya Bhumi, Karma Bhumi, Tyaga Bhumi, this is a land of sacrifice. This is a land of merit. This is the land where there is spiritual gold within. And that is the reason why avatars come here. Because it is here that you can dig out that gold and distribute it to people. When someone asks Swami, why do avatars take birth in India? Swami says that a miner would go there where there is hidden treasure in the earth. A miner would go there where he knows if he digs, he will find the treasure. And that is the reason why avatars also come to India, because in the soil of this country, in the waters of this land, in the air of Bharat, there is that treasure that has to be only collated and distributed, that has to be awakened, that only has to be brought to light into the consciousness of people. It is already here. And all of these spiritual places, power centers of spiritual energy, are places that the Lord has designed so that our mind, somehow or the other, even as it goes through the vicissitudes of life, they don't get too caught up and have a heaven where they can unburden themselves, where they can reconnect themselves to the source of all energy, where they can find hope, where they can see through the trials and the worries of life. And that is the reason why most of these places are very mysterious, very difficult to explain. What happens there when you go there? Very difficult to put in words why the places of such nature do something within you. If you look at the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri, there are things that defy logic. For instance, the flag atop the temple strangely always floats in the opposite direction of the wind. There is no scientific reason, even though there are some theories, but there is no concrete explanation for this. It is just some force more powerful than science. Or take the case of the Sudarshana Chakra. The Sudarshana Chakra, which is there atop the Gopuram, the Shikhara of the temple, it is 20 feet high and it weighs a ton, and it is made of so many metals, Ashtadhatu as it is called. What is really interesting about this Sudarshana Chakra is that you can see this chakra from any corner of the Puri city, any corner of the city. Wherever you are in Puri, you can see this Sudarshana Chakra atop the Jagannath temple. And the engineering mystery behind the placing and the positioning of the chakra is that irrespective of your position, you will always feel that the chakra is facing towards you. Wherever you are in this town of Puri, you will always feel that the chakra is facing you. Yes, it could be an engineering marvel, but this is how these centers of spiritual energy are unique, and everything has been divinely designed to create that space for us. You'll be surprised to know that no birds ever fly above the temple. Generally, all these temples with the huge gopurams will attract birds. But for some strange reason, the space above the temple is a no-fly zone. It's not by government order, but it is by divine design. No birds or planes fly above the temple. Some claim that, you know, the birds don't fly because of the formation of some vortexes, some eddies that are caused by the sea wind moving at high speed towards the Jagannath temple because the sea is very close. Some people attribute the flag flowing in the opposite direction also to this sea breeze. One scientist called this phenomenon as Karman Vortex Street. It is basically a repetitive pattern of swirling vortices. It's happening because of the sea wind. That is one theory, but it is not conclusive. People are still trying to figure out why. But for the faithful, they know that it is all planned by the Lord. For the faithful, because Garuda is there within the temple, no other bird comes there. And it is all ordained to add to the mysterious element. And there will definitely be a spiritual significance to everything. Everything when it comes to a place of worship like this. The Sudarshana Chakra being visible, and no matter where you are, you can see, means that God should be our topmost priority, and you every time can look up to God and you will see that He is looking at you. He is always looking at you. And the flag is going in the opposite direction. Don't try to understand Him through your logic. And He is above everyone. He is on the top. In fact, what is also interesting is the structure of the temple is such that it does not cast any shadow at any given time of the day. We know that every object in this world casts a shadow. If there is light, there has to be shadow. Again, they don't know whether it is an engineering marvel or it can be attributed to a divine force, but this is the truth. For some reason, you will never find a shadow because it is the sun itself. The Lord is the sun itself. The temple has been so brilliantly designed, if it is really an engineering marvel. Otherwise, it is just divine will that there is no shadow. There can be a shadow when there is sun and there is you, but the sun itself has no shadow. This temple is like the sun. It is like that energy giving source to so many people. The Jagannath temple has four doors. The main door is called Singhadwaram. And when you enter through the Simhadwaram, you will see that as you enter, you can hear the sound of the waves because the sea is just nearby. But once you cross the door, cross the Simhadwaram, all the sound of the waves stop. In fact, this is a mystery how once you step into the presence of the temple, there is no noise. You will not hear the sound of waves as long as you are inside the temple. I mean, Swami has created this space for people's peace. He has created that space so that you can forget everything. No other noise of the world will affect you. You have come into my space. Just focus on me. I am shutting everything else off. And the sea. In Puri, in any part of the world, you must have witnessed that during the daytime, the wind from the sea comes to the land. Whereas the wind from the land blows towards the sea at evening. This is how it happens everywhere, but not in Puri. It is reversed in Puri. The wind from the sea comes to the land during night time, and during daytime, the wind from the land blows towards the sea. It's happening the opposite way in Puri. the 1800-year-old ritual that continues even today is of the flag of the temple that is changed every single day. Every day a priest climbs atop the temple, which is probably as tall as 45 story high. And this priest changes the flag. And this ritual has been going on for 1800 years. And in fact, the people of Puri believe that if this ritual is ever missed, the temple will remain shut for the next 18 years. And the priest who climbs up the temple to change the flag, he never wears any protective gears. He does it with his bare hands. It defies how this person has been able to do it. Any professional climber will be put to shame seeing the grip and the flexibility and the grit of the priests who do it. And what to talk about the Jagannath Prasad. Nothing ever goes wasted in the Jagannath temple. The quantity of the prasadam that is cooked in the temple remains the same throughout the year. But no matter 1,000 people visit, 2,000 people visit, or 20,000 people visit the temple, the food is every time enough. It is never insufficient. It never gets wasted. It is a mystery that it is like God's love. It is there for everyone. It never goes wasted, and no one goes hungry of his love. Anyone who comes to Puri and wants the prasadam can get the prasadam. And how is the prasadam cooked? There are 7 pots which are used to cook this prasadam, and each one is placed on top of the other, and the cooking happens through wood, only through firewood. And what is really interesting to note here is that the contents of the topmost pot get cooked first. Even though the fire is at the bottom, the topmost pot gets cooked first. Then followed by the pots below that. And every day after the food is prepared, the food is taken to offer it to Lord Jagannath for blessings. And they say that at that point in time, the food is devoid of any smell. But after it is blessed by Lord Jagannath, then the Mahaprasad begins to smell, begins to emit that divine aroma. There are so many such amazing secrets of the Jagannath temple of Puri, and it is so with every temple. It is every place of spiritual energy. Their very location, their very design, their very architecture, everything has been done in a manner that they become these repositories of solace. They become these power centers of spiritual energy. And that is the reason why every time you go to these places, you feel so rejuvenated, you feel so connected. And probably it is because of this reason that the sages of India laid down that if you are a religious person, if you are following the Sanatana Dharma, if you are following the Hindu faith, make it a point to visit Lord Jagannath of Puri, as they call the Char Dham. You go to Dwaraka, you go to Puri, you go to Rameshwaram, you go to Badrinath. Because all these places are not just ordinary places. They have been invested with so much of power. They can cleanse you. They can connect you. What you are not able to do elsewhere, you will be able to do it here. Because the place is enabling you. It is acting as a catalyst to help you in your spiritual journey. And that is the reason why you have so many saints, from Adi Shankara to Tulasidas. So many people have come to these shrines and they have experienced the power that is invested in these places, and then they have disseminated the glory of such divine sources of energy. They say in Puri, only Hindus are allowed. By Hindus, it includes Buddhists and Jains and Sikhs and basically anybody from the Sanatana Dharma, connected to the Sanatana Dharma of Indian culture, is allowed. In fact, there is an instance where a former Prime Minister of India also was not allowed to enter into the temple because the person did not belong to the Hindu faith. While this might seem not in tune with the modern thought process, when you go into the history of the temple, you know that the temple was built in the 10th century. And the deities were actually much older, and they were associated with the great mythical ruler of Satyayuga, King Indradumna, who is considered as a nephew of Lord Ram. He belonged to that dynasty, that clan. Now, over the years, what had happened is this temple, because of its fame, because of the riches that it had, and because of the number of people it attracted, it was also the site which attracted the attention of so many non-Hindu rulers. And all these rulers had looted and destroyed this temple. Just like you go to the history of the Somnath temple in Gujarat, you would find that the Somnath temple was looted and destroyed 17 times by Muhammad of Ghazni in 1026, by Alauddin Khilji's chief Afzal Khan in 1298, by Mujaffar in 1395, who burned the temple down and damaged the idol. So all these temples have been ravaged by largely Muslim rulers. Jagannath temple was invaded 18 times. The first Muslim invasion on it was waged by Ilyas Shah, the Sultan of Bengal, in 1340. Firoz Shah demolished the temple of Jagannath and desecrated the images around 1360. Sultan Hussein Shah of Bengal captured Puri in 1509 and destroyed the idols in Jagannath temple. So there have been so many attempts to destroy this sacred place by rulers who didn't belong to the Hindu faith. But the most amazing thing is how many ever times it was tried in history to destroy the temple, they were not able to do it. Every time they wanted to take the idols and capture the idols and destroy the idols, that was not allowed. Every time the people of Puri and the priests and the temple managed to hide the idols, there were times when they gave away fake idols and hoodwinked the rulers. There were times when they were able to just in time move the idols and take it to a place of safety, and they have devised several stratagems over the years to protect the idols. Sometimes it was saved in a little village near the Chilka Lake. Sometimes it was even sent to a different state. Sometimes when, for example, there was the General Kalapahar in 1568 who led the victorious army of the Nawab of Bengal, Sultan Suleiman Karani, and he wanted to loot the temple. And the deities somehow were smuggled out of the Sanctum Sanctorum and they were hidden near the Chilika Lake, which is close to Puri. But the sad part is this Kalapahar, this general, found where the idols were there and he set them ablaze. He actually, they say, he took the idols and he made the idols being dragged in the city by horses. So there were a lot of things that were done which really hurt the sentiments of the Hindus. But every time the Lord protected himself, who can protect himself? The Lord, every time the idols were tried to be destroyed, even in this case, when General Kalapahar wanted to burn the idols, at the right time, the Brahma or the soul of the idols were taken away and they were hidden, they say, in the kingdom of Kujang, in a different place. And for many years after that, there was no puja. There was no Mahaprasad. There was nothing happening in this place. So there was a time for 150 years where during the rule of Aurangzeb, the temple had to be completely shut. And the idols were just in safe custody somewhere else, hidden. And just a few people were continuing the rituals. Later on, after the rule of the Mughals and when the Maratha rulers came in, that is when the idols were brought back. There came the King Ramachandra Deva. From the Hindu kingdom of Khurda, and this great king was renamed as Abhinava Indradumna, because Indradumna was the original king, you know, who had discovered this deity. There is a long story of how Lord Jagannath got installed in Puri, because this king resurrected the temple and brought back the worship. He was given the title of someone who is a reincarnation of Indradumna. And after that, even when the British assumed the control of the temple in 1751, in 1803, they somehow allowed the maintenance and the administration of the temple to the temple management and to the king. And that is how the pujas and the rituals continued. And there were in fact many mysterious occurrences. Every time later on someone tried to damage, there was thunder, there was lightning. There were so many stories, and some documented, some not documented. There was times when God came in the dream of a Muslim ruler, and the ruler who wanted to actually destroy, he came and gave extra land for the expansion of the temple. So there were so many ways that over the time Bhagwan has preserved this shrine, because it is that powerhouse of spirituality, from where people can connect to their inner self. So as late as 1647, there was the 15th invasion waged by another Mughal, Amir Fateh Khan. So there were so many such instances, and it's probably because of this that the people of Puri, who have sacrificed so much, there are hundreds of lives lost every time people came to desecrate the temple. And that is the reason why probably the people of Puri always wanted to protect the temple, and they thought that the Hindus and the allied religions of Hindu people, they will respect and they will not do anything to desecrate the temple. And that is how this tradition started, that only people belonging to the Sanatana Dharma are allowed into the temple. But the Lord is so kind. The Lord wants that anyone who prays to Him should be able to see Him. And perhaps it is for this reason that you have this Ratha Yatra, where the Lord says, okay, if you are not allowing someone to come inside, I will go out. I will go out and give darshan. And that is how the Ratha Yatra happens every year. In this year, July 12th, Ratha Yatra started and 21st it ended. And that is one event where no matter who you are, you can have the darshan of the Lord. And the festival of devotion, the festival of joy, the festival of divine communion between the devotees and the Lord. People, if they can touch even the rope for a millisecond, they think that is their liberation. I mean, the devotional euphoria that you see during the Rath Yatra in Puri is something to be believed only if you are there. Three chariots and Lord Jagannath, Lord Valabhadra and Lord Mother Subhadra, Nandi Ghosh, that is the name of the chariot of Lord Jagannath, and it has 16 wheels. His older brother, Lord Balabhadra's chariot is called Taladhvaja, and it moves on 14 wheels. And Subhadra has the smallest chariot. It is called Padmadhvaja. It has 12 wheels. And every year there are new chariots which are handcrafted, and the preparations of which begin 2-3 months in advance. And it is always made of wood, cloth and resin, no metal, no stone. And after the end of the festival, the chariots are dismantled and the wood is used as a fuel in the temple kitchens. And the way the procession happens, I mean, it always reminds you of this procession, you know, during the huge birthday celebrations that happen so many. You have band and you have folk dance and you have Sai Gita, you have people chanting. I mean, something like that it is. You know, whenever the Lord is coming out, and there is nothing in creation that is not excited at that point in time. There is music, there is chanting, and there is so much of joy that the earth is not able to contain. I mean, it is that kind of a feeling every time there is a yatra. And to me, it always reminds me of these beautiful processions when Bhagwan used to come out, be it 60th birthday, 65th birthday, 85th birthday. And that is what the Lord did and continues to do in Puri. Okay, if someone does not allow you to come, don't worry. I am going to come to you. And there is that beautiful story of Bhakta Salabego. He lived in the 17th century, and he's known for such fantastic compositions, devotional compositions on Lord Jagannath. Probably he was born between 1607 or 1608. There's no proper historical record. He was a son of a Mughal Subedar by name Labeg. And this Mughal Subedar was in charge of Odisha at Cuttack, and probably early 17th century. Now what happened was, this Subedar, during one of his military trips, happened to see a Brahmin widow, and he forcibly took this lady and made her his consort. And Salabego was their only child. Now, when Salabego was old enough, you know, he fought in his father's campaigns, and he was tuned and groomed the way his father wanted him as a Mughal general. That is how he was growing up. But once, during a war, he got critically injured, and after he returned home, his condition was so pathetic that it didn't look like he will survive. He was heavily wounded. And his mother, his Brahmin mother, did not know what to do to save his only son. And she started praying to Lord Krishna, because being a Hindu, that's what she knew. And she advised Salabego, can you chant the name of Krishna? Chant the name of Krishna. He will help you. Krishna will always protect you. And that is how Salabego started chanting the name of Krishna. And they say that that intensity with which Salabego believed in his mother's instruction, he completely believed that the God, that Krishna will cure him. And that is what actually happened. Miraculously, he was cured. He actually got a new life. It was surely the prayers of his mother, his faith in his mother's words, and his faith in Krishna. And his mother told him, son, you have got a new birth because of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna is nothing but Lord Jagannath. Both are the same. Jagannath is just an incarnation of Lord Krishna. And that is what changed Salabego's life. And after that, he just spent the rest of his time only singing and praising the Lord. He went to Puri. He wanted to have the darshan of Lord Jagannath. But because he was the son of a Muslim father, he was not allowed to enter into the temple. But that did not deter Salabego from continuing his devotion to the Lord. He would stand at the gate of Lord Jagannath temple and sing to him, pray to him, cry for his darshan. For him it was same whether it is Lord Jagannath or Lord Krishna. And so he thought, maybe I will go to Vrindavan. And he left on foot for Vrindavan. And he wanted to lead a life of an ascetic. He wanted to have Krishna's darshan there. He was not able to see Lord Jagannath here. He thought, I will spend the rest of my life singing the glory of Krishna in Vrindavan. And that is how he went to Vrindavan. And on the way, as when he was there in Vrindavan, he just kept composing so many songs. You find so beautiful lyrics and very deep meanings and such lovely tunes. These tunes have actually become the part of the folklore of the culture of Odisha now. And he sang all these songs and people were mesmerized by his voice, by his love, by his compositions. He spent a year in Vrindavan, in Braj Vrindavan. And somehow that desire came to come back to Puri, because he heard about Ratha Yatra being happening in Puri. He thought, this is the only time that I can see the Lord. During Ratha Yatra, when the Lord comes out, I am not allowed to go inside the temple. But now when the Lord comes out, how can I miss this chance? I should go and have the darshan of the Lord. And so he started his return journey from Vrindavan. And he planned it in such a way that he will be in time to reach Puri and have the darshan when the Lord is out on the road. And as he started the journey with a lot of excitement every day, thinking of Lord Jagannath and praying to Lord Jagannath that he should be given this chance to fill his eyes with his form, which he has been pining for, he kept praying and he started his journey. But unfortunately, on the way, he fell sick. He fell ill. And the recovery took so long. And he started getting delayed. And now he started praying to the Lord, Lord, how anxiously I was waiting for your darshan, how much I have pined to see you, and with how much love, with how much anxiety I have been waiting to see you, and I have started this journey and now I have fallen ill and I will miss this chance to see you. Can you wait for me, Lord? Can you wait till I come? I'm recovering. I will make it. I will somehow come. But can you wait for me? wait for me, Lord. And that is how he kept praying to the Lord that, please don't deprive me of this chance. I don't know how I fell sick. I will somehow make it, but give me some time. Don't deprive me of your darshan. And that is what was the prayer of Salabhego. And they say on the day when Nandi Ghosha, the vehicle of Lord Jagannath, should be returning back to the temple, that chariot just did not move. The chariot of Lord Jagannath just did not move even an inch. How much ever the people tried to pull the chariot, and there are always thousands pulling the chariot, but no matter what they did, the chariot did not move. The Lord did not want to come back to the temple. The Lord wanted to wait. The Lord did not want to deprive Salabhego. The call of Salabhego was so intense that the Lord said, doesn't matter. I will wait till you arrive. No matter when, I will be outside till you are back. Till I can see you and till you can fill yourself with my darshan. And only after Salabhego came and fell on the sands of Puri, lost in ecstasy, seeing the Lord, that the chariot began to move. In fact, they say that the place where the Lord stopped waiting for Salabhego, even till this day, when the Rathayatra happens, when the journey of the chariot happens, the chariot pauses at that very spot. In fact, the Samadhi of Salabhego is also on that grand road. There's no other devotee's Samadhi on the grand road of Puri, which is called Borodhando. The Samadhi of Salabhego is there. And the Lord, every year during Rathayatra, Nandi Ghosha stands there for a while just to remind people that even if the whole world says no to you, if you have love for me, I can shut the whole world and wait for you. Do you have that much love for me? And people till today sing those songs of Salabhego. It doesn't matter if he had a Muslim father and a Hindu mother. What is most important is once he realized that he is the one who is everything, he is the one who can give life. What is the point of this life if I cannot give it to him? When we have that kind of a surrender, that kind of deep passion for the Lord says, for me, you are most important. Everything else can wait. And the compositions of Salabhego continue to reverberate in the hearts and minds of the devout in Orissa. In fact, the drama of Salabhego was also staged in front of Bhagwan by the devotees of Orissa on one occasion. Let me play for you an excerpt from that beautiful drama, which has a very popular song that is always attributed to Salabhego, and this is the song that every person who is a devout of Lord Jagannath connects to.
Aheni Rasai. God of the Blue Mountain, I pray to you, as a wild elephant destroys the lotus pond, you also destroy all my sorrows and agony.
Jagannath Swami.
Just a small excerpt from that beautiful drama which was staged by the children, Bal Vikas children of Odisha, in front of Bhagwan on the life of Salabhego. Let me play for you one more little song, composition of Salabhego. Again, a very, very popular one. Some of them have such beautiful, catchy tunes and beats. You'll enjoy this.
ভকত জীবন কিকা তো ভকত জীবন ভকত নিমন্তি তোর শঙ্খ চক্র চিহ্ন শঙ্খ চক্র চিহ্ন কিকা তো ভকত জীবন কিকা তো ভকত জীবন ভকত তো পিতা মাতা ভকত তো বন্ধু ভকত তো পিতা মাতা ভকত তো বন্ধু ভকত হিতরি তোর নাম রূপ সিন্ধু নাম রূপ সিন্ধু কিকা তো ভকত জীবন কিকা তো ভকত জীবন
Bhakata Hitare Toro Namo Krupa Sindhu. You are called Krupa Sindhu because of the way you look after your devotees. Jagabandhu, Krupa Sindhu, all of these are beautiful ways by which Lord Jagannath is praised. And when you think about Lord Jagannath and Puri, you cannot but think about Lord Sainath and Puttaparthi. In the previous episode I shared with you how Lord Jagannath from a little town of Odisha came to Puttaparthi and how Swami himself revealed what you have brought is only the idols of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath is here and he pointed to himself. For all the devotees of Odisha, Jagannath and Sainath mean the same. To me, this Puri and Puttaparthi are not different. Just like when you look at the Gopuram of Puttaparthi, just like when you look at the Yajur Mandir, when you look at the Hanuman of Puttaparthi, you know, just the sight causes a spring of joy in your being. That is how it is when you look at the Shikhara, when you look at that Sudarshana Chakra of Puri. And just like once you go inside Puri, all other noises stop. It's the same, isn't it? Once you enter Prashantinilayam, the air is different. The place seems like very different. It's like a different place on earth. It seems like it's in a different earth. The air, the vibes, nothing of outside influences what is there inside. You are a different person inside and a different person when you walk out. This Prashanti is that Puri that Swami has created for all of us. And whoever comes, just like everybody who goes to Puri gets the prasadam, it's the same. Whoever comes to Prashanti gets the prasadam of Bhagwan. No one can come to Prashantinilayam and leave the place untouched by the love of Bhagwan. And it's the same. You cannot go to Puri and return untouched by the sanctity and the purity of the place. And that is what happens every day in Prashanti too. Every time there has to be a resurrection of spiritual consciousness, the Lord creates these spaces so that it helps us to go back to our roots. When Bhagwan installed the meditation tree, Swami declared that with time, what I have invested here will pull spiritual aspirants from all over the globe. And we don't know his time scale, but what we know is whatever he speaks is truth. That truth is beyond our grasp. But what we do know is all we have to do is like this Bhakta Salabhiko. If only we have that kind of love for the Lord, we will always remain priority one for the Lord. We are always priority one for the Lord, but sometimes we fail to recognize, we fail to experience what it means to experience the joy of being His chosen one. But only when we tune ourselves to Him, we will see how Bhagwan also will fill the cup of our heart with so much joy that it will just overflow. And we will see how He can stop anything. He can wait for any length of time. He can build institutions. He can destroy institutions. If that is what a devotee wants, it all depends on the power of the love of a devotee. And there are so many beautiful stories of devotees of Lord Jagannath, Dasya Bahuri, Bandhu Mahanti. There are so many. Probably in the future episodes, I'll share with you a few more stories. But all of these stories are stories that have become immortal because of the indelible connection that these talk about between the devotee and the Lord, and the way the Lord has time and again told that there is no distinction whoever you are, if you have your heart given to me, my heart is in your hands. My heart, you are in my heart. And that is what all these stories tell us. And every time the Lord comes, the Lord only wants us to forget all other dharma and believe in this prema dharma, because this is the only thing that makes the whole cosmos function. This is what is the power of the cosmos. And every time cosmic consciousness comes down, it is only to awaken us to this most powerful force that can take us back to the source. Thank you so much, dear listeners, and we'll continue this in the coming episodes. Let us hope that all these beautiful mysteries that the Lord has created for us enables us to see everything as just His mystery, as just everything, as just His play. The tapestry of life is just His play. And let us focus on not the creation, but the Creator. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.